Welcome back to a Larger Than Us episode. Today, Sneha and I are going to be talking about cancel culture and all the, I guess, what the term means, how it affects the way we perceive things, how social media can instigate cancel culture. So it's just Sneha and I today, and we'll just go ahead and get right to it. So I guess the first question is, what do you think of the term cancel culture when you hear it?
Honestly, I think I like most things in my life, it took me a while to finally be like, oh, I know what that is now. Because I, just live under a rock. But cancel culture, I feel like my first thought is Twitter, because I think that's kind of where it originated a little bit. And just like the hashtag, like Oscar so white. That was a very popular like example of like cancel culture that happened, or well, canceling Oscars because there isn't as much diversity, and then there were legitimate concerns and legitimate actions that were taken. That's not anything that's new. Obviously, Oscars has always had issues with diversity, I think, but it's only in the last like 10 years. And even after, the hashtag Oscar so white went up, that's when it really, they started taking action, so I think for me, like cancel culture, like that's I think of immediately like Twitter, and then my like first kind of intro into it, which was, Oscar so white. What about you?
Yeah, I think those are interesting ones. For me, I think cancel culture is like just a form of like grouping people together, or like trying to have a collective attitude towards something. It can be positive and negative. And for me, I think examples of what cancel culture is when it first comes to mind is definitely like we were talking about this earlier too when you were putting together the episode outline, like the comment section of social media where people like to put their opinion into like what's going on in the video, whether it be like a kid doing something very silly and then there's like a huge debate in the comments, or like something's happening and it's causing like a stir where people are like, oh, this is not right, this is right, or whatever. That's one example. I think also celebrities doing things. That was the first thing that I hear, like think of when I think of cancel culture, because it's always towards like someone who does something, like who's held in a higher regard, whether it be celebrities, politicians, companies, and whatnot. So for me, that's what I think about cancel culture. As a really long-winded way of saying that. But just like a collective attitude towards something. Like it could be towards like boycotting like we've seen in the past, or it could be towards like being like trying to like judge what someone's doing. So it can go in a positive, but it can also spin in a negative way too.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, I also just see it as like kind of this umbrella term that captures like a whole bunch of things. And I think it's also conflated a lot with like legitimate issues, but also conflated with like, TMZ style reporting, which is like a vast like range of things. And I think it's almost too much of an umbrella term in that I think especially in politics we see, politicians that have kind of like use this terminology in some instances where they kind of like almost like weaponize the term and be like, oh, they're just complaining to complain. There's nothing actually there. It's just they're just part of cancel culture. I've seen it go that way, but I've also seen like really like you said, like the comment section of Instagram, like there'll be a video of a cat doing some stuff or whatever, and then like someone in the comments will be like, actually, you shouldn't be taking, the cat doesn't like that. You shouldn't be doing that. That's like irresponsible of you and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. I mean, the cat looks healthy and like, they're feeding it clearly. It's not like, I think it's a very reactionary response sometimes, especially on social media, and it can be like, I don't know, a little, there's no room for conversation when someone, just says something like that. So it's like difficult. Like I'm a little weary of the term just overall, just because it's been conflated and now it's like there's too many different meanings. I just don't know. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree it's a reactionary like thing. I think the behavior of canceling someone is not new, where like it's a very like human behavior, obviously. Like we've seen it, like great examples would be like when you're in high school, like Mean Girls shows it. Like when you're a kid, you ice someone out if they don't fit in, or like bullying is just like a very aggressive version of it. But like it's, I think the behavior has been like always there. I think the term now gives it an excuse for people to kind of leverage it a lot more than when it's needed for very small things, like you said. Oh my gosh, you're abusing your cat. And it's like, no, he just fell off the table by accident. Like those things happen in life. Like,
I
and
mean,
things like that. So, I mean, it's interesting because I feel like it's being used a lot more now as like a way to be like, let's isolate this person, or let's kick this person off of a pedestal, for XYZ. I know I remember reading that one article that I was sending you to about the New York Times, and they were like saying it's just like calling people out, and it's just trying to educate them, but it ends up being more of like trying to like, what's the word, like
Undermine.
reveal their flaws or like undermine. Yeah, so it's like that. I feel like it's like that. I do definitely agree with that article. But yeah, I don't know if it is majority positive or majority negative, you know what I mean? Like that type of behavior.
I feel like like you said, cancel culture has been happening, like forms of this have been happening in history, right? Like example would be a good example would be Salem witch trials, you know, like going all the way back where it's like, okay, you're a witch. Okay, why? Because of XYZ, and you can't, there's no room to actually like defend yourself in that moment. There's no room to, there's no room for having a conversation or growth, right? Like if it's also putting, like there's like actual repercussions to the words that are being you or the thing that you're being accused of, but there's no actual evidence or justification that's happening in that moment. So it just feels like pointing fingers. So it's not really like productive conversation. But having said that, there are examples of cancel culture, namely, you know, all of the stuff that came out about Dan Schneider, for example, of the Nickelodeon exec producer Dan Schneider. That's a good example of how, you know, there were legitimate like pedophiles on his set. And he was the leader of that, right? He allowed that stuff to happen. And it just hearing about the environment that he created, for example, like all that stuff was brought first, well, not first brought, but brought to social media and brought attention to it. And he did get canceled on social media before there was pressure to finally look into him on Nickelodeon's side, right? Like not that they weren't looking into him, but they actually were looking into him after there was public outcry and there was public attention on it. So it's like I think there is value in certain aspects of cancel culture, especially when it's calling out and talking about legitimate issues and legitimate like things and pushing the conversation or pushing for action. I can see how that has value in it. But yeah, like I don't know. I think the term, I think my issue with it is more just the term cancel culture, like the way that it's done and the way I just, there's something off about it. Like it feels very, it just doesn't sound genuine. Like I feel like some of the concerns are genuine and some of them are not, and they're all being put under this umbrella. And I feel like that's just the product of social media and the product of everything being available at everyone's fingertips all the time. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's
Yeah,
tough.
no, I agree with you. Like the word cancel culture, or whenever it's being seen or used by like us Gen Zers, or I guess Gen Alpha now, because we're old, it does like hit me, or it does rub me in a weird way, in a sense it's like, all right, come on, let's calm down here whenever I hear it or see it. So like I totally get you. It does rub in a specific way, because it's such a strong, I guess, not strong terminology, but it's just a very, like, I don't know, it's a very direct, and that's maybe what it is. But I definitely agree with you, in the sense of it being helpful in a positive manner. Like, the Nickelodeon, the Dan Schneider incident, like, that is a great example. And I think it showed that, like, there is power in numbers, where it kind of influenced the way where it could bring a positive change, or make sure we do the right thing type of attitude.
Yeah.
I think another good example of that, I was recently watching a documentary called To Kill a Tiger. And that one, too, I think the documentary itself, and also the conversation that it stirred, is a good example of cancel culture. Because I think it was, like, let's lead by example, was how it was framed. Where the documentary was focused on this poor girl who got group raped in India in a village. But the way that they told the story was showing, look, here's the father of the girl fighting for her, going to court, trying to understand the justice system in India, and trying to make sure that his daughter gets justice. Like, let's look at that as an example of this is how fathers should be, and not lose hope in protecting, like, her rights and safety in the village. And at the same time, they were also showing, like, this is how men think right now, which is what we need to stop doing. Like, they, like, showed it in a very, like, in a thoughtful way, where your immediate reaction is not like, oh, like, my immediate reaction was like, F that guy, when it was shown, like the ones who are like, oh, it's the girl's fault. Like, I'm like, okay. Yeah. I, like, had that immediate reaction, because, like, that visceral reaction is what it comes out, because they show raw, like, conversation. They don't even edit or do anything. So I think it's good to get that type of reaction out, but it also showed, like, it allowed you to, like, sit and reflect as you were watching the documentary. And I think that type of reaction of, like, oh, like, I want to immediately cancel him, but, like, what can I do to help in the situation, or what can we do to have better conversations about this, was, like, the outlying, like, I guess, outcome of that documentary. Yeah. And I think that's a great way, also, another good example of, like, how media is using the collective mindset, like, a smart or, like, more productive, like you said.
Well, yeah, and I don't even think I would count that as, like, canceling someone. I think that's, I mean, and I only say that because of how much research and how much, like, time and effort and just thoughtfulness that and evidence that was collected in order to put that documentary together. I feel like that, I think, makes sense to me, because I'm like, okay, they're not just, like, you know, because when I think of canceling, it's, like, that reactionary, like, oh, what they're saying is bad and blah, 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 you know? I feel like that, at least, like, there was some thought, you know, there's some evidence that are being shown. There's, like, actual, like, proof, a court trial that was happening. And that feels like, okay, that makes sense to me, because there was a court trial. It was officially, like, looked at and looked at from all sides. And now we have proof that this group of people are at fault. So I don't know if I would consider that cancel culture necessarily, in the same way that the Quiet on Set, the dark side of television, the one that does, like, you know, uncover all of these crazy things that are happening at Nickelodeon, that was something that happened, like, years after the initial canceling, I guess, happened. Of Dan Schneider, like, way back in 2016, 2017. So I don't know. But I think that's, like, it's definitely good to, like, I don't know. Maybe I define cancel culture differently. I don't know how you look at.
Well, I think to me it's, like, when you're, like, wanting to X something or cancel, or I don't, like, it's, like, it's not just a person. It can be a topic. Like, right, to me, right. And, like, I know it does feel very reactionary, but I feel like the right way to do it is to collect everything together. So maybe that's why I'm like, oh, this is why I consider it. Like, this is a great example of, like, calling someone out in the right way, in a more crafted way, just because, like, you're right. Like, in some instances, even, like, on a level, if we, like, not, like, people in entertainment who are, like, documentary, like, or filmmakers, and, like, even at a lower level, like, people using social media, it is very reactionary. it's a very, like, I want to be judge, jury, executioner type of mindset.
Right.
Yep. Which we have no, like, we have no credibility to, like, as individuals. So, like, I think maybe that's why, to me, it's like, we going back, it's an umbrella term. And, like, this is, like, the one area where I'm like, this is how it should be. Like, this is, like, an example of how it should be crafted where we could do it ourselves. In that type of manner, or like, they're leading by example. I think that's just
right.
And also the Nickelodeon, the Quiet on the Set too, that's a great way, because I know a lot in that, especially in that area with Disney and Nickelodeon, that the way that it's brought up and then, like, unfortunately subdued and, like, quote-unquote justice is not served is a very, like, common thing within those areas. So that Quiet on the Set is a very great way of, like, hey, yeah, let's not quiet this anymore. And I think we can all learn from the ways that these filmmakers do it, or how Drake Bell brings up any of his conversations, just because, like, I guess switching into, like, a more, like, individual on a social media platform, I feel like a lot of people don't give that grace or give that second, like, give that thought, and they just immediately just start being like, oh, well, psh, like, this person's out of here, let's start, like, spewing hate without really thinking, like, why are we hating this person, what did this person actually do? And nowadays, now you have to figure out if the content that you're watching is actually real. So it's, like, there's a lot of factors in play that I think is just making it easier to, like, just spew hate for no reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know if the switching gears.
No. I mean, yeah, no. I agree. It's just difficult. I also feel like, especially when it comes to, like, because, you know, there's canceling of brands, there's canceling of celebrities, there's canceling of, I don't know, like, topics or ideologies. And for me, so the my stance on it is, like, I think when it comes to, like, ideas and ideologies, calling someone out, it's difficult to talk about it in, like, a, it's difficult for me to talk about anything under this because it's so wide of a definition. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when it comes to ideas and stuff, I'm okay with it being brought up as an issue, but not attacking individual people, but being like, okay, like, this idea is entrenched, for example, like racist comments or racism in this country and stuff like that. Like, that stuff does need, those ideas and ideologies does need to be talked about and does need to have conversations, or that should spring conversations on social media, and I do believe that. But, like, I think there's a way of doing it that is productive and not pointing fingers at specific people unless there is actual evidence that they did something. Like, I don't know, like, saying the N-word in the workplace, for example. I'm on the side of, like, yeah, they should face punishment for that. Like, like, they should have some sort of, like, thing in the system that's like, okay, that's racist, and there should be some repercussions for using words like that in a workplace and making people uncomfortable or implying things that are creating an unhealthy workplace. Like, there should be things within the system that accounts for those, or that provides repercussions for those situations. But having said that, all the stuff that happens on social media around the actual issue is what I'm wary of, because that's where it gets very aggressive, and, you know, you hear people getting death threats and stuff. You hear people getting, you know, like, it, cancel culture goes beyond just the words that are being spewed, right? And the repercussions that the system has. It also is just this mess of just ideas and individual thoughts, and everyone being like, there's just no room for conversation. Everyone is just pointing fingers. And I think that's what it bothers. That's the line that I draw. I'm like, I don't know. We should leave it up to the.
Yeah, I think
we should leave it up to the system to take care of. If that system doesn't exist, then yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't know what
it's a weird like. Yeah, it's a weird catch 22, because cancel culture doesn't, like, it, like, canceling someone doesn't lead to a specific action of justice happening. It's like, yeah, a mirage to me, but it's like, it's a collect. It's like trying to gather everyone to persuade a decision, to me. But the thing is, with social media, everyone feels empowered that they're making an action towards something because they feel like they have the power to with their platform or account. So it's like a weird catch-22 where it's you're supposed to sway someone to persuade into a decision, but like social media and everything feels like you're being able to do it yourself in a way. So it's like it gets very confusing, and it's like I don't know, this might be a little sensitive, but like whenever we a lot of the activist type content is on social media and people try to partake in it and participate in it, which is for me that's totally fine. Like I think it's just the way that some people go about it. Like I've had certain people where I see like they're showing all that information, like the Palestine stuff and like their platform and everything. Like I totally agree with them, like we should be supporting and things like that and how we should be helping. But I think it's the kind of ending part where I sometimes they're like, if you don't believe in the way that I see it, like we can't be friends anymore is what they'll say while they're posting this type of information. And I'm like, well, if you're trying to get people to understand your point of view on this topic, saying that is not going to get someone to understand your point of view which at the end of the day, you want everybody to get on your side of the topic and persuade to an action, whether it be calling your senators for a ceasefire, calling like specific reps and or like donating to like charities to help give relief aid and whatnot. Like that's the end goal where I feel like that type of work that you do on social media should lead to. And that's what it means to be a productive like outlet to it. But if you're like saying like you're saying your platform, but then in the end it's like if you don't believe in it or you're not, if you don't even know about this, like we can't be friends because like how can you not know about this in this day of age? Like it's like such a judgy way of going about it. And it's for sometimes for me it's just like that's the type of stuff that it's like it's no longer productive anymore. You're wasting calories trying to do something that no one's going to hear you because the way you phrased it or communicated it. I don't know.
It's so easy. Well, it's so easy, especially with very serious topics like that, like and raising awareness to real life issues where people's lives are on stake. Like, with it's so important to not piss people off. Like, I don't know. Like, and not in the sense, but like in the sense that like you said, like having those kind of like blatant like pointing fingers. Like, if you don't do this, then you suck.
Like you suck as a person. You're trying to get someone to like. That's the thing. It's like you're trying to get someone to like listen to you, right? Like that's what I feel like. That's what cancel culture does. That's the reaction portion. Going back to it, it's like, well, I don't want to listen. You're just like that one. Like you're just like that one person who's always going off in their corner. Like that's how it ends up turning out to be, and it's not productive at the end of the day.
And I think it also increases the anxiety around it, and maybe that's the point, you know. Maybe that's the point, because there's, like, I understand the anger. I understand the emotions behind it. I understand. And I feel that too. But when it is more productive to be like, here are some actionable items that we collectively should do to get this done. That feels a little more like, okay, great, this is a solution. There's a positivity, not even a positivity, but there's like, okay, this is what we do.
Yeah,
I can contribute. I can do something. And I like, and it feels like it's moving in a direction instead of spinning in circles. And and I think that's nice to see. I think also like even like sharing like video, like sharing like news articles and stuff, that seems productive to me as well, because it's like, okay, this is the news, be aware. Like, please don't forget that this is happening. It's not like trying to sway you in one direction or another, but it's, hey, this is going on, by the way. This is something that we should be aware of, and we should collectively start looking into, and like here's an article that seems productive to me as well. But yeah, like the blatant statements at the end, I don't know how to feel about.
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying like you shouldn't bring it up at all. I think the way like sharing awareness to it, especially in this day and age when there's a lot of like fake content out there, like that is very helpful when you're trying to uplift a credible platform. I just think it's like the judginess aspect of it, where it's like, yeah, it's just like, it's like the other end. It's just like, well, like, I know. Like, people, you have to give people, like you said, you have to give people grace to learn and change. Because, like, if you don't give them that grace and no one's changing, we're still in the same place as we were yesterday. So, it's, yeah, it's a thing. It's like, bringing awareness is just one way. Like, what you mentioned, like, this is what's happening in the world. Just take a second to read it is very much a great way to bring awareness. And rather than immediately get that reactionary, like, hey, let's ice them out.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, what's the end goal, right? Like, we all are going to have to live exactly. next to each other anyways. So, like, what's the end goal? Like, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish, you know, at the end of the day? And how can we work through it? That's ultimately what I think I understand. Moving on to, I guess, moving away from, like, those ideologies and, like, bigger, like, What are your thoughts on just, like, canceling, like, brands, for example, or canceling, like, I don't know, like, the way that companies hold themselves in a workplace or their, like, systems within a company? Like, what are your thoughts on that specifically?
Oh, that. So, like, up until very recently, I'll be really honest with you, I've been like, like, especially with all the layoffs happening in the industry that I'm in, it's just like, well, I'm just a number, I'm just a cog in the machine. Like, yeah. I don't really, like, so, like, to me, it's always been like, nothing's gonna change because things are gonna always stay the same because I'm just a number. That's what I've always thought, like, just with the recent stuff that I've had to experience. And, like, but I think in terms of, like, the boycotting of, like, companies, like, I think Starbucks and Chick-fil-A have been always a common boycott every once in a while. I think it's great to do, and I didn't think, okay, like, if does it actually have impact when those things happen? Because I know time and time again, those are, like, one of the main companies that get boycotted. But then I recently read an article where people actually, like, the collective mind or group of people who are boycotting Starbucks, and, like, it actually worked where Starbucks saw a decline in sales, and I was like, wow. So if we really do come together, there's it does
impact.
Work.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
an impact. So I think, like, if it actually works, like, in that sense, like, I am all for it. Like, I don't need Starbucks.
Yeah, right?
I don't need to see, like, a chai tea latte on the menu. Like, that's totally fine with me. Like, I'm Wait. Fine if we erase that from existence. Like,
did you hear that Starbucks, the CEO is double, right? Like,
yeah, the dude's Indian, and it's like, he's still stubble. A chai tea latte.
Yeah. He's double, and I think there was some article, like, I think the beginning of last year, where he was, like, coming out with, like, chai or something, like, Indian chai on the menu, and I was like, but you still call it chai tea latte. Like, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, sidetrack. But,
no, you're
but
good.
Yeah, so,
yeah, it's just like, seeing it
it's
work,
nice to see. Yeah.
It gives a glimpse of hope where I'm like, okay, like, if we really put our heads together, we can do it. And I'm all down for participating in that. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
You can kind of hear from my, like my side of this, like, overall topic. I'm a very action-driven person where I'm like,
right.
I'm like, I don't want to just talk about it. I got to talk about it to do something, which is kind of like, I don't know. That's just how my mind is always working. I'm always in, like, let's just do something about it. Let's not just continuously be in the same state and, like, go nowhere from it. So that's why I have this weird relationship with cancel culture where I'm just like, I hate it because it's not productive. But, like, hey, if it works, if we really, like, participate and look at the positive side of things, I am all for participating in that and helping boycott Starbucks. Chick-fil-A, I have to be honest here, it'll be very hard for me to boycott because I do like that spicy deluxe chicken sandwich.
Seriously.
But I can do, and the waffle fries, but I can do it if it's gonna help the larger collective. like
yeah,
I'm all for it. Like, I'm down, let's do it is my mindset on those things.
But how about and you? I think it's nice because I think it's also, like, you know, there has to be some sort of pushback for some of these, like, antiquated systems, like, especially in the way that humans have evolved with technology and stuff, and just awareness. Like, there's so much more awareness of mental health issues, so much more awareness of just, like, I don't know, like, I just feel like there's more awareness, and because there's more awareness, there should be pushback on some of these, like, older systems of power and older systems of just like companies and like the way that they're structured, there should be pushback. And I think that's a very productive way of you know, pushing for change and pushing them and putting pressure on them to resolve and work through some of the internal issues they might be having, with internal and external issues they might have within the companies. Especially, like, it's just good to see. It's nice to see. And yeah, now we have numbers to prove that it is working, which is quite nice to hear. So
yeah, I think the culture to change is very hard. It's really hard to ask someone to change what they're doing. And I've learned that, like, a little bit in hard experience these last few months personally, in the sense of, like, I know this is like, so what I do for work is that I have to go in and see how can we do things better with newer technology, or like how do we modernize the way that we're doing things to work better and faster at a high level. And part of my experiences is just having to go and talk to each of the like end users or stakeholders and being like, well, you've been doing this for so long in this way, and I get it, but we have to change in order for us to be better, and having to sit down and have those conversations, and we have to use it like XYZ technology in order to do it. And like the person on the other end is like, well, it's been working for so long, so why do I have to change? That's the internal struggle. Or it's like, why risk taking doing something when we don't even know if it's going to work? Those are the types of like receiving feedback that I get, and it's very valid in like a corporate setting, just because time and time again the old ways tend to overcome the new.
Yeah,
but that's like the always constant struggle that I have personally at work, where I'm blanking out on the name, but there's like a tech innovation curve, like there's like a, it's like a curve where like right now AI is like the hot commodity. You just say AI, you're gonna get like $1 million thrown at you, like if you're a startup founder. And then there's like some technologies that are like curving, where it's like the hype is kind of dying down, and it's like kind of like being understood of like where it can be used and where it can bring value. And then it goes down to a dip where it's like really hard to convince people to start using the technology again, because the hype is over, the honeymoon phase is over. Right. So then when it finally plateaus to like a normal technology. So that kind of curve for me is like, basically I always experience the front end or the end where it's like resistance. Just with the work that I do. And so for me, that's why in my lens, it's like, well, calling people out at work, or like calling a system or a process out at work, it's very tiring, and it does for sure lead to burnout. So it's just like, for me, it's just like when you're constantly trying to change something and it just doesn't work, it's just end up getting burnt out. And I feel like that does apply to like the, not the D, I hate wording it like that, the inclusive like environment that a corporate culture needs to have, like constantly having to like be on the front of that and being like, we need to change, we need to do this, we need to do XYZ way for our organization to be more like healthier. Like, that's just so tiring. I think it gets to the point where it just always leads to burnout and not change, in the perspectives that I've had to experience, where it's just like, that's the area where I'm like, that would be great if someone else can do it. Or like, if someone else can do it, good for them. But I just don't see it in the environments that I'm in, it being possible. So maybe that's the negative, pessimistic mindset for me on that. But that's just where I'm coming from for that.
Well, I think to your point, like, you know, change takes time. You know, change is not something that happens overnight. And I feel like the finality of some of the cancel culture that happens on social media is like, doesn't leave room for that change. I mean, and arguably, like, just the way that society works now, everything happens so quickly. Like, change is almost being forced to happen quickly when it's just not possible. It's gonna take time, and it's gonna take so much time, and I don't think there's any way to speed up that process. But I don't know, like, it's hard. I don't know, it does need to happen, but and society is now requiring it to happen quicker and quicker and quicker, but can we as humans keep up? And is cancel culture a productive way of doing that? I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. No, it's definitely hard. That's why it's like, well, if we can hold companies accountable on a larger sense, like, it's the way that we do it together is going to be super important, because if everybody's individually trying to do it, everybody's just going to burn out and give up. Like, and that, like, while cancel culture is supposed to bring people together, sometimes it's just like an amplifier rather than like a collab, like a corralling of people. Yeah. So like, oh, I hate this person. Oh, yeah, I hate this person too. Oh, yeah, I hate this person too. And then sometimes it's like an amplifier in that way rather than like a, let's like group everybody together and like consolidate resources.
Yeah, yeah. Like, let's share this information collectively with everyone, and then we're going to move as a team, as opposed to just people yelling at each other. Screaming at each other.
I agree with this dude. Or like, let's ice this person out. Like,
yeah.
It's like, that's why it's like, it's a little tough for me, because, yeah, the human is very complicated. Maybe that's what it is, going back
to
it. Anyway,
it's like, I mean, yeah, and like, most of these like larger changes to happen, like, I think there needs to be an organized front, you know. There needs to, mm-hmm. like, unions are a great example of this. Like, they're great.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
it's like a system, it's like a process, and it's falling within, it's just like an organized front that is consistently pushing for change. And they're treating it like a marathon rather than a race. You know, it's going to take time, and it's going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. But the endless screaming at each other on social media, like, that's not a united front. That's just people screaming at each other. And sometimes, mm-hmm. like, and it's so hard too, because I feel like that, all that commotion, I think, puts a lot of stress on younger people. Like Gen Z, like, to be perfect.
Yeah.
There's this pressure to always come off as respectable, and there's a fear of being canceled, a legitimate fear that you're just, if you say the wrong thing, you know, you're going to lose all your friends. And in some cases, depending on what circles you run, like, that's a legitimate fear. That's a legitimate reality in some circles and some, you know, groups of people. And that's kind of scary. Like, I don't know. Like, is that much stress and anxiety and perfectionist sort of attitude in a like whole group of individuals in the like younger people that are going to grow into this into the world? Like, is that what we want for the younger people? I don't know. It just it bothers me.
It defeats the purpose of calling someone out.
There's no grace. There's no conversation. There's no like forgiveness. You know. There's just a simple like, oh, you're done. You're out. You failed. And I don't know. That's scary to me.
Yeah, and like, even in those situations, what's deemed correct? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like it, to a point where you're asking someone to be perfect, but like, imperfect in what way? Like, into the point where they feel so scared to like say something to a group of their friends that they might get like isolated out? Like, is that really a perfect in a good way? Like,
right. I don't know. Like,
I think that's also a thing to like consider. It's, we're judging, but we're judging based on what, like what facts or what moral ethic, whatever, is okay to like hold someone up to? Because I mean, no one does that on a normal basis. Like, for sure, I know, like in an adult world, like people older than us, no one does that to others. So
no, well, and I don't know. It's gonna, also side note, it's probably gonna sound hypocritical that I say all these things, because up until, like, I mean, I fell into this trap too, right? Like, of pointing fingers and, like, immediately, like, oh, I can't be with that. I gotta move away. I gotta leave. I gotta go. I can't. I don't, like, we fundamentally do not have the same ideologies as these people. I don't know if I can, like, get past that. And I've fallen into this trap as well, but, you know, I don't know. You burn yourself out doing it. I can tell you from firsthand experience, burn yourself out doing it. And you just feel like everyone is out to get you. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think there's a certain degree where, like, for me, it's okay if my friends have a certain degree of difference in thinking. Yeah. I think I've also learned from hard experience too. Like what that boundary is, I guess, if that's about a good way.
Defining. Yeah.
So, cause like, I get it. Cause like, I remember my first year of college, I made friends, a lot of the engineering people, and a lot of the, okay, so Cincinnati is liberal, but a lot of people in the engineering college is like, they came from small towns, rural areas where, like, I'm the first brown person they've ever seen, apparently, or things like that. So, like, to them, a lot of their philosophies are, like, I had one friend who did not believe in climate change, or, like, I had one friend, like, make fun of me being Indian because, like, he was like, oh, do you guys belly dance, and do all these, like, very, like, microaggressive comments, and it's, like, to me, I was like, oh, we all are just different. I was too understanding, I feel like, where I was like, we're all just very different because we came from very different places. So it's okay. We can still be friends with these people. And I tried so hard to change them in the sense of like, hey, like, now that your world is opened beyond Indiana, population 20, like, maybe your way of thinking might change, or maybe we can, like, be better friends or closer friends. And it just never worked out because, I mean, like, they learned what they've learned, and they're not going to change if they don't want to. So I think in those instances, yeah, maybe it's setting that boundary and be like, hey, yeah, we really can't be friends is, like, a good way. But, like, yeah, like, and then that sense, but, like, if there's, like, small things where, like, someone is, like, has a different stance or has a different background on something, I think it's okay. Like, I think the, like, level of okay is, like, I have a friend who grew up very, like, rich, or, like, yeah, very, like, comfortable of a lifestyle, more comfortable than me, but, like, I don't judge that person based on their upbringing, like, if they're based on their comfort level. Like, sure, okay, you need, like, XYZ commodity or things like that, like, I won't judge you for that. Like, that's what you need, that's what you want, that's totally fine. We'll still be friends, and we'll still be very close friends, but that's just something that you want and you need to do, and that is totally okay with me. Like, it doesn't impact me, but, like, I don't need to judge you for it. So
right.
I think that level of understanding needs to be there, where it's like, if it's really not impacting you, like, do you really need to judge the person? Or, like, I think you can still be friends with this person. Like,
yeah,
it's good to have different perspectives in your life, not the same one.
No,
so.
Exactly. Well, and also, like, I don't know, to your point about, like, you know, realizing, like, what kind of people you want to let into your life when it comes to these kind of, like, fundamental, like, belief differences, I think when I said, like, there should be conversation instead of just, like, whatever, I think that conversation needs to happen both ways. And if that's not, if they're not, like, just because you're willing to have the conversation doesn't always mean that they are. And if they don't want to, and it's just not working, then it's just a difference in opinions. And, you know, instead of maybe a closer rung in your friend tier, maybe they're a little bit lower. They've kind of moved down because, you know, inherently you just inherently have different opinions, different ideologies, and it's affecting you in a way, and you don't want to, you know, and they're
It'll
not willing to have the conversation. It's never going to change. Yeah. So, and it's affecting your stress and your anxiety and your well-being. So why, you know, in those instances, I understand why, you know, maybe you want to step away and not want to deal.
Engage
with
it. Yeah.
Yeah. But at least you gave them that opportunity, right? I think not giving that opportunity is the essence of cancel culture sometimes, where it's just quick.
So. That's just quick to judge. Yeah. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like pivoting a little bit. I know we talked a little bit about, like, the personal, how it impacts us personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think another conversation to be had is for sure on the celebrity side. In the aspect of, like, what, like, celebrity is such an esteemed term, I guess, and it's kind of equivalent in our country to, like, some, like, royal or politician in another country for some reason. That's how I feel when people put celebrities on a pedestal. So I feel like we need to talk about that aspect of cancel culture, because they also get a lot of the hate or impact of all of this. So, like, how do you think our collective understanding of what a celebrity should be impacts our understanding of cancel culture?
Well, I mean, like you said, like, I feel like celebrity is put on a pedestal, and they're expected to, you know, be perfect in the same way, the same stress and anxiety that people feel nowadays on a personal level. Like, they are expected to be the epitome of perfectionism. You know, we put them on a pedestal. We expect them to have all the right ideas and right thoughts. And I think when they fail, or when something happens in their life, you know, everyone is there to watch. We're watching their life constantly. And I think, I don't know, I like, it's just, I feel like we need to stop caring so much about, you know, celebrities' lives. Like, oh, a celebrity got a DUI. Okay, great. Like, are we going to cancel them for that? I don't know. Like they, something happened and they got a DUI and that's all the information that we have. Beyond that, I'm not going to make any assumptions of this person until other evidence comes out or whatever. But I don't know. Like, I think we just need to, I think we collectively need to not put celebrities higher than they need to be. They do not, they are not the epitome of good humans or human beings, you know, like, I don't know. We should just stop looking up to them.
Like, I agree. It's like, they're human too. Let them. I think the ability to kind of speak about someone else's life in this manner, like, to, especially on a celebrity's life, I think fuels the fire in them having to, like, do, like, resulting in them doing in things that might not be the best decision for themselves. Let me just word it like that. I mean, a great example is Britney Spears. Like, she was set in an environment where she literally could not thrive in, and then people continued to, on the sidelines, on social media, and on the news, paparazzi, like, kept
TMZ,
judging her and, like, forcing this type of narrative on her while she was being put into a very unfortunate circumstance. And then she had ended up doing things that, obviously, the type of stress is gonna make you do. Like, it's gonna make you break, and it made her break in a certain way where now she's, like, trying to pick up the pieces for herself and repair relationships for her private life. And it's like, that's putting gas into a fire, like, this type of behavior, being able to speak out. And it's like, you're very right, like, why, who are we to judge? Like, these are just people who are having to work in really high stress environments that we are putting them in, so why do we judge them? And so, yeah, I think it's not fair. And I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with this this point, but yeah, I think in terms of, like, the effect it has on, like, celebrities, it really is unfair. And I think with more grace, we need to have more grace with that. And I also don't really care about what celebrities do with themselves, and I feel like other people should too.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Because, like, in other societies, like, I know in the Korean society, it's, like, even worse than it is here, to the point where, like, celebrities are, like, committing suicide. Lee Soon Kyun, his story before he, like, passed is a great example of the public keeping him at a higher regard, and then other celebrities being afraid because they might get prejudiced if they, like, they're afraid to speak out or, like, support the individual, like, led to his, like, demise. So it's like, that's a very, like, next level of where I think, especially in that society, like, celebrities, they do great work, but they should not be held to that standard, to the point where it ended in a tragic way for him. Like, that to me is, like, very insane. Like, that should not be happening.
Yeah.
And it's very common in that society, but, like, it's so sad. It gets to a point where it's, no one else wants to speak up, no one else wants to support the other celebrities being prejudiced against and whatnot. Like, that is just, like, next level, where, like, that really needs to, let's bring it down a notch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is, like, kind of a, I guess this is something that I discovered recently, because, you know, the whole, like, you don't know how other people think because you just, for a long time, because you just assume that they think the same way that you do. But I think I always, like, considered celebrities as, like, humans, like, friends. Like, I, like, every time that I, like, think about a celebrity, I'm like, my first thought is, would I be friends with them? And why? And that's how I judge the celebrities that I follow and celebrities that I enjoy to, you know, watch interviews about and all that stuff, right? Like, would I get along with you as a human? And I don't think I ever put them on, like, a pedestal or put them in a status like that where they're like, oh my god, you're my life. Like, I need you to be perfect or my life is going to, like, crumble under me. I don't think I ever really, like, you know, and there's good examples of this, like people went crazy over Robert Pattinson when all the Twilight stuff was happening, for example, and they had him, like, up here, is like, oh my god, I'm gonna die, all the One Direction stuff, oh my god, don't get it, I don't understand, I literally just see five guys, and they're cool, I guess, they're fun, yeah, they're fun, but, like, beyond that, I don't really, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. No, that's very valid. Yeah. Even Taylor Swift, Beyonce, if we go back to the Western world. Oh, God,
the Taylor Swift stuff. Sorry.
Yeah, but, like, it's, like, good for her. She's changing economies wherever she goes, but, damn, like, that's wild. Like, to me, I agree with you. That's, like, damn, like, how, like, that level of pedestal, like, being, like, appreciated is kind of insane for me to think about.
They're always under scrutiny for cancel culture too. Like, I'm sure, like, there's just a lot of pressure to be, like, very
easily.
Yeah. They can flip very, very easily. But it's interesting though, because I feel like there's certain celebrities that even they're, like, untouchable. Like, Taylor Swift is a good example. Like, I feel like there are some controversial things that happen around Taylor Swift, and people just completely disregard some of
that
stuff.
That's true.
And I don't know how to feel about, like, you know, there are certain people that, like, just don't seem like they're ever able to get canceled. And I don't know how to feel about that either.
Point. Yeah.
Like, where's the accountability, you know? Like, there should be some accountability when it comes to certain things. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole, like, okay, for example, Kanye West and all that stuff that happened.
Oh, yeah. Eesh.
That was interesting. But he did that one to himself too. Like, he just kept going. Like, he kept digging himself a grave. And, like, yeah. And that actually, it's funny, I think that one actually had a lot of evidence behind it too, because that stuff was happening for, like, years and years before it finally came out on, like, social media and stuff, or before he finally, you know, actually said something very insensitive, which that's not good. I think I kind of understood that canceling of that guy.
He also is bipolar, and he's, like, going through some stuff, so it's like,
but there's certain things that I'm like, oh boy, I don't know how to feel about. I mean, like, yeah, we should give him space for it, but also, like,
I don't know the much on the full story, but no, I get what you mean. But going back onto the untouchables, I feel like Taylor Swift is one. I'm trying to think of people who are quote unquote untouchable. Like, yeah, because, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of people to see if it's, like, they're untouchable in a good way, or, oh no, we're, like, screwed if it's, like, a bad way. If they're going to be the example of how we should conduct ourselves, like, that's why they're untouchable, right? Like, everybody's like, I want to be, like, X person. I want to be, like, Y person. Right. So, I don't know. Hopefully it's all good people. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Or someone who gets, quote, canceled multiple times and it doesn't even affect them anymore. There's kind of like, this is just a known fact. Trump.
Trump is one. I think, I don't know.
But,
this might
but
be
that one is legitimate. Time. He incited violence on January 5th. And then there was, like, he's been on trial multiple times. I think that's a... That's another example. Well, that's another example of, like, because, you know, if you ask, like, I feel like Trump supporters or people within his, like, campaign or whatever, they'll just be like, oh, like, you know, it's just Gen Zers, like, canceling people again, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, but he has legitimate, he's a criminal. Like, he's stolen documents, like, from D.C. and stored them in his house in Florida. And, like, he's had FBI investigations done on him. Like, that's a legit... That's like criminal behavior. And the fact that he's still here is... And still here and running and all this stuff, that's crazy. I don't think that's... I don't think that one either. I don't think that's cancel culture. I think that's just criminal behavior being kept accountable on a judicial level. Like,
exactly. he just got to go.
But that's what I mean by, like, politicians using that term to, like, basically weaponize it and downplay some of the voices that are bringing up the concerns. I'm like, no, you're wrong, though. There's, like, actual facts. And it's annoying and unfortunate that, like, certain people will not even, you know, look at... They won't do their own research. They'll just believe that blindly. And I don't know.
Yeah, and that's scary when that happens. Yeah. Mm-mm. I think it's also weaponized. I think the politician... I don't know. I think there's like, a weird thing that, I don't know, I notice where... They also weaponize it to be like, you're too young, like you're young and woke, like we're like, there's people who are like very younger than even us that are like stepping in and trying to be like leaders in those, like in those areas of topics, and trying to like shut those politicians down. And I think that's a great way of, like, an example, like you mentioned, like it's like weaponized to be like, oh, you're too woke, but you're also too young, so like you're not gonna get it, like kind of dismiss you in that way. It's just interesting. It's, like, not just us Gen Zers using the term, but it's also, like you said, like, older politicians trying to leverage it for their benefit.
Yeah. Well, but. I feel like we've discussed so many different types of cancel culture. There's no really other way that we can frame this, because there's just so much under the
term. There's a lot, yeah.
There's so much, and I, like, and it's just so, it's so, like, dependent on the situation. But I guess, like, as a final sort of question, after having that conversation, do you think canceling or calling out someone helps provide action to actually fix the issue that they're being canceled on? Like, do you think canceling or calling out someone is productive? I don't know.
I agree with you. I think it depends on the situation. It also, I think, depends on the type of person. Because, like... I, like, going back to it, I'm a very action-oriented individual where, like, I need to do something if I'm gonna say I'm gonna, like, if I say I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna go do it. Like, so, like, that type of personality, I feel like, or, like, people who are very much like, yes, I want to take part of this and actually help, those types of people, I think calling people out and bringing light to, like, bad things could provide a productive and actionable, like, a productive route to, like, actually make some change. But if it's, like, people who, like just constantly just, like, complain, just be like, oh, yeah, everything's wrong with the world, I don't know, like, and they just don't want to, like, also just, like, take the time to, like, learn about something and, like, go do it, then I don't think it's as productive. Yeah. But I feel like the conversations we've had today, like, right now, it's, like, we've always talked about how we can, like, make it better. Like, whether it have been celebrities, people on social media, entertainment, or watching a documentary. So I think, I want to think positively in that manner, where, like, I think you can. And I think if people just change their mindset a little bit more, so it doesn't burn out people, to, like, give up, like we also discussed, then I think we can do some good. And I think it can be used to a benefit. And maybe... 10 years from now, maybe even less, it might be rebranded to another name. Like, right now it's cancel culture, but it might be rebranded to another slang terminology. But I think we just got to do it right. I think there is potential too.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I think for me, like, I don't know, like, I think it's just, like, again, like, just the terminology canceling or calling out, I think it's, like, trigger words at this point. They are trigger words. They're not really talking about the actual issue itself. It's kind of, I just wish that we would just rebrand it to be like, okay, now we're gonna have a conversation about it. It's not canceling it. I'm just gonna bring up an issue and we're gonna talk about it. Like I don't know. I think it can be productive, like we've mentioned. I think it also can be not productive, and it just, again, depends on the situation, depends on the person, depends on what we're talking about, what context. Like, I just wish that the terminology wasn't there, so that there is room to have the conversation, and there is room to do it. I feel like the social mediafying of this word has now made people very weary of each other and very, like, not willing to talk to each other. And I don't like the idea of an entire generation having this mentality, you know?
Yeah, I think so, I don't know. Fundamentally, it's I think a skill that I think we should all learn is not letting it get to you in the sense of like how do we filter out the noise to focus on what's real, what's there, what we can control.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Like this type of behavior does amplify the noise and it's really hard to like kind of anchor yourself back into a reality that what you are doing right now, because it's definitely a whole nother world. And I think that is a skill we really need to hone. I think for me, I need to hone for sure. As we like, just to ensure we anchor ourselves to our beliefs so that we don't let it get to us or it doesn't get too far where it's like the noise wins, lack of better words or cliche. But yeah, I think that's like the main thing. I think in order for us to be successful in this like environment where it's highly judged, highly pressured, highly socially judgmental or anxious driven, like you mentioned, some people feel like they have to feel perfect so that they don't want to misspeak or misstep. Like there's a lot of noise with that. I think it's really hard if you listen to all of it.
Yeah. So really the problem is social media is what we've concluded.
Always a problem.
We should cancel social media. Yeah. We should. I don't know. But yeah, so conclusion anyways,
that's
so
what you take away from it, everybody.
Absolutely, delete your accounts. let's start it.
Just listen to Spotify so you can listen to us.
Yeah. Oh yeah, don't delete Spotify or Apple Music or anywhere else you stream on your podcast services. This is a great conversation. I feel like our goal for the conversation was to keep it, you know, like kind of toeing the line between the two and trying to understand both sides and like dissecting it. So I think we accomplished that. And I hope that whoever's listening, I hope y'all enjoyed. And please follow us on social media, follow us on Spotify, leave your comments. We'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts on the conversation. Maybe we'd start doing more conversations like this and to take it and dissecting like more topics in this sort of way. But yeah, it was great talking to you, Kirthi, and yeah, we'll see you guys in the next one.